Senator Elizabeth Warren says she doesn't take the position lightly, but she thinks it's time for President Obama to effectively fire the chairwoman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Warren's chief complaint is that SEC Chair Mary Jo White has failed to pursue new rules that would require corporations to disclose certain political donations. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. He joins us each week to discuss the latest on Capitol Hill. And we begin with the matter of Elizabeth Warren and the SEC.
She wrote a 12-page letter that in some ways sounded somewhat like a legal brief, saying she doesn't make this request lightly, in part because the chairwoman of the SEC, Mary Jo White, she's a Democrat. So she must be really ticked off, and she sounds pretty ticked off. And what this is all about is a long-running dispute between Senator Warren and the SEC over what Warren says is feet-dragging by the SEC about writing new rules that would tighten up or intensify rules on companies to do with their disclosures of political giving, how much they give to nonprofits such as trade associations and how much they spend on political activities. Warren says that, you know, this is an obvious way for the SEC to be regulating the people it regulates, and it's never happened.
And as you kind of alluded to, one of the, extraordinary is probably a little too strong a term, but a Democratic senator asking a Democratic president to remove a Democratic chairwoman from a regulatory body. I can't think of too many examples of that in the past.
Right, nor can I. It is the president's prerogative to designate the chairman. So it is. I don't think it's the president's prerogative to remove anybody from the commission, but the president does get to choose the chairman. So perhaps this is laying the predicate for a new president. If she is a Democrat, if Hillary Clinton becomes the president, my guess is that Elizabeth Warren will reassert this and will put sort of pressure on the new president to do what Mrs. Clinton has said she wants to do during the campaign, which is to make some moves to do what can be done to tighten up campaign finance laws and money in politics laws to the extent that she can without running afoul of Supreme Court decisions. So my guess is this is a predicate for a renewed move next year.
So in other words, as far as we know, a president could not remove a member of the commission, but they could replace the chairman. So in essence, if they went along with what Senator Warren is asking for, Mary Jo White would be a commissioner, but not the chairman any longer.
That's as I understand it. Yes, right.
Okay. Switching tracks, so to speak, Metro running into some funding issues once again with a $275 million operating shortfall in its current budget. And I guess there's at least some potential that they will turn to Congress to fill some of that gap. What's the likelihood of that actually happening?
I think the likelihood is a zero. Congress does provide Metro with a chunk of money every year. It's been $150 million in the fiscal year just ended. I think it was the same in the year before that. That $150 million is in the pipeline for the next year, assuming that Congress can, even if there's a continuing resolution that lasts a whole year or a regular spending bill, that would be $150 million. But Congress has made clear, as in years past, that this is not money that's an operating subsidy. It's not just supposed to help Metro hold down fares. It's supposed to be all for construction and preventative maintenance. And Jack Evans, the chairman of the Metro board, I think has made pretty clear that anybody talking about going hat in hand and asking Congress for a operating subsidy is not only wasting time, but might even annoy members of Congress to the extent that they might want to threaten to pare back that construction and operating maintenance payment.
Which indeed I think they have threatened to do if they see any evidence that Metro is using those funds that are intended for capital projects for actual operations.
That's exactly right. Right. So the only way that Metro could mess this up, the $150 million that it's getting from Congress, is to spend the money in ways that Congress says it shouldn't be spending it.
On the other hand, I guess you could argue from a Metro perspective that one of the reasons the operating deficit is what it is because they've had to shift some funds in the current year to pay for the whole SafeTrack program, which is actually capital expenditures. So maybe there's an argument to be made there to Congress that, hey, we need some help with what are actually capital projects.
I think that would be the case. I think that it is fair to say in the grand scheme of things that Congress is less supportive of Metro than it once was. that the days in which I think it is also demonstrably true that fewer people who work on Capitol Hill and ride Metro than they used to. One of the rationales for this payment from the very start was that Metro was going to make it easier for the congressional community to get to and from work. That number certainly isn't growing. The congressional payroll is going down. So I think in these relatively tight times for domestic spending, mass transit spending, spending on local projects, and with Senator Barbara Mikulski about to retire as the top Democrat on the Senate Appropriations Committee, you know, a Maryland Democrat, the odds that Metro is going to get more luck out of Congress in the years ahead are small.
Yeah, to one of your earlier points, David, I can very clearly remember a school field trip, maybe seventh grade, when we visited D.C., and folks were pointing out that the reason the Metro system here is so nice is because members of Congress take it to get to and from work. I don't know how true that was then, but how frequently these days are actual members using Metro to get to and from the Hill?
Well, anecdotally, I can tell you that there is one member who uses my Metro stop every morning, who's a neighbor of mine. There are two senators, actually, Martin Heinrich of New Mexico and Chris Murphy of Connecticut, two Democratic senators, young Democratic senators, who ride the Metro to work every day. I don't know beyond that. That's a great question. As you know, many members of the House now don't need to ride Metro for the simple reason that they live on the couches in their
offices. In their offices, that's right.
We don't think there are any senators who live on the couches in their office, but a lot of them live on the Hill. A lot of them try and live within walking distance. It is less and less the case that members of Congress bring their families to Washington. Senator Murphy, who's my neighbor, is really an exception. So my guess is probably fewer members ride Metro than they did when you came here on your field trip.
Understood. All right, we will leave it there for now. Thanks, as always, for bringing us up to speed with goings-on Capitol Hill, such as it is at the moment, David.
Thanks so much. Take care, Jared.